chapter 3. We're very glad to have some new friends here today. Our little sister Maya, one of our folks that comes to the Salt and Light Bible study, fired up for Jesus. And her parents are here today in the middle. Thank you for being here with us. And then our dear friend Jennifer in the back and her family, they're here with us this morning. Glad to have you as well. And also, my little buddy back there, Renna Anderson, turned 4 years old. And so this morning, we need to sing happy birthday to Renna. And today is also my daughter Jaleesa's birthday, but she's not in here, so we don't care. All right. Let's sing happy birthday to Miss Renna. We'll say happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We love you, Sister Renna. What a cutie. Amen. This morning, you'll find in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, that Paul, the apostle, is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. And so I would have you know the context is that he's writing to the church. And he says some things here, speaking of the spiritual unity of this church, which is a central theme of the book of Ephesians. But furthermore, he's talking about the church and the members of the church, or people who need to be members of the church, being rooted in. So this morning we'll look, if you'd stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, hide me behind your cross. Lord, we thank this morning of Brother Cockman, Sister Maddie, as they are in Texas this morning, and he is giving testimony of the Sons of Issachar ministry. We pray for their safe travels and protection for the Cunninghams as they travel and others. Lord, this morning, first and foremost, let your word be given to us clearly this morning. Help me, Lord. Encourage the people, Lord. We ask that you do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. To be grounded, as it says in the Word of God there in Ephesians chapter 3, is to have a foundation. A foundation is the bottom layer. It's different than being rooted. That's why God said two different words there. But being rooted is to become stable or unchanging. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, we see that our foundation is Christ, is our salvation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if he is not the ground level for the rest of your life, then this morning, today is the day of salvation. You need to hear the word of God and react to the word of God by accepting Christ and having a foundation which is firm, which no other man or entity or institution can lay save for the man, Christ Jesus. But we also need to be rooted. This is after our salvation, what becomes stable and unchanging. It's to build consistency and growth, specifically as Paul is writing to the church, the family. Verse 15, you'll see he's writing to the church again, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. When you are a Christian, your foundation, the greatest name you have is not the name you wear on the back of your jersey, but is the name of Christ upon your life. See, church, and I believe at our church and other churches, we need to build some consistency. We need to grow roots. When you are rooted, it's not easily changed. When you are rooted and consistent and established, you are becoming more stable upon the foundation you already have. Anybody here like to change their furniture around a whole lot in their home? You have a foundation called your house, but you move the furniture from here to there, you move this to there, and pictures here to here. That's fine. But the church is to remain and to become established, to become stable. And you, my friends, are the furniture. You need to be stable, consistent in your church attendance. When the doors are open, I plead and beg with some of you to come back on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. But you know what I understand? Some people get rooted because of family. Some people get rooted because of where they've always been. Some people get rooted because they love the pastor. Some people get rooted because they love their friends inside the church, but we are to be rooted because the foundation is Christ, and as long as Christ is the foundation, which you'll always be, you need to grow roots here and be here as often as you can. You know what I found out, and this isn't to be critical, it's just true, but the people who are always here are rooted in each other and know each other very well, and they've become family. They know more than just superficial levels of hi and bye. We do friendship greet, and that's great, but outside of this place, I was thinking of this, and I was thinking of my brother Chuck, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, but he and Charlene have no children. I've known Chuck for 5 years now. The church started 3 years ago. He became from the very first service. He's now a deacon, and I say this to you, brother Chuck and I are rooted in each other. I can sit in the room with him and Charlene and never say a word because we're just family. So rooted in one another that brother Chuck, calls upon us, you. So rooted in one another, brother Chuck's wife is slipping into eternity, and he called me Thursday night and said, Pastor, I won't be able to make it to Grow tonight, to visitation, because I need to be with my wife. When you're not going to be at church, you know what? Tell someone, because I love you, and if I don't know where you're at, maybe I think something bad happened to you. If you're not going to be here, just know that when you're not here, you're missed. Because roots... If anybody knows about missing roots, it's your pastor. Number one this morning, we need to be rooted in the faith. Now that is rooted by salvation, so if you're saved this morning, you're already rooted in the faith, you already have a ground level. But let me tell you another reason why you need to be in church, and why rooted in this church and rooted is so much more important than you think. You see, people are always afraid of how to stay safe, or they're afraid and they want to know how to stay safe. So if you want to stay safe, avoid riding in automobiles, because 20% of all fatal accidents or all deaths occur in automobiles. If you want to stay safe, don't stay at home, because 17% of all accidents or deaths occur in the home. Avoid walking on streets or sidewalks, because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Now watch. Avoid traveling by air, rail, or boat, because 16% of all accidents involve those forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33% of deaths, 32 occur in hospitals, so avoid hospitals. But watch this, this makes the pastor happy, it should make you happy. Only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services in church. So literally, logically, the safest place you can be is in church. That was good. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, if you want to live, then come to the house of the living God. Amen. But watch this. Bible study's safe too, because even less of a percentage of people die while reading their Bible. Did you know that? But rooted in faith, Colossians 2. We're going to explain through this a little bit. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as I have not seen in my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we're going to look at verse 4 for a second. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. When people are beguiled or enticed with words, that's how they become a part of a cult or non-biblical preaching and teaching places. This is how they get away from the true word of God. Listen, I am surely not perfect, but I only divide unto you the word of God. verse 5 says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Steadfastness means stability. The Bible says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Listen, you can't love the church and the world at the same time, or you are unstable in all of your ways. Everything you do will have you leaning back and forth like a drunkard. You wonder why you can't take root and why you can't get anywhere, why you just keep up kicking up sand and mud just keeps spinning and you can't get your tires out. It's because you got the love of the world and you got the love of the church, and those two things are enemies. They're opposed to one another, and so you're unstable. You're a double-minded man, and the Bible says you must be steadfast, stable in your faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 tells us that we ought to be walking. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Listen, the same faith that saved you is the same faith that abides in you. And when you believe Jesus, then we walk by faith and not by sight. You say, "Well, Pastor, I would never be able to do that. I would never be able to have that happen in my life." Well, you believe that a baby was born in a manger and rose up and lived a sinless and perfect life, and he died, and 3 days later he rose and ascended into heaven at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. You believe that, but you don't believe Jesus can take care of your finances? Come on. You believe that, but you don't believe that Jesus can do things in your relationships. You don't believe that Jesus can do things. You don't believe that you have the energy and time to come back to church or to serve and grow or to be here. Well, listen to me. Walk ye in him, the faith that you've received of Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth you. I didn't say it. The Bible did. Say, "Oh, Pastor, I could never do that." Yes, you can. Anything that's for the good of God's will, you can do, if you ask him. Now, some of you are asking for the wrong things. You ask him this. You're asking for God to give you a bigger house or to lessen your car payment, or you're asking for God to give you this thing or that thing or this one or that thing. And that's not what "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me" means. God's not worried about you if you can. Some of y'all are praying that you become better video game players. God's not worried about that. Just kidding. Go on to the next verse there, brother. "Rooted and built up in him." See that "rooted"? "And established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." You know, you're building upon the foundation where you're taught how to do those things. To be rooted and built up is in the pillar and grounds of truth, which is the church, which means Sunday school. Amen. Huh? Amen. Okay. Amen means so be it, right? So Sunday school, okay, which means morning worship, which means evening worship, which means Wednesday night worship. And you know what I have found out? The people that come to all of those services, less time I have to spend with them. But what happens when people don't come to those services, then they want to come to me and say, "Pastor, do you do counseling?" Well, I gave you 4 opportunities just on the track. If you were in Sunday school, you might have heard how to fix the problem that you have. If you were in morning worship and you were consistent in it, you might have heard how to fix the problem that you had. If you were in evening worship, you might have learned. If you were in Wednesday, listen, Wednesdays we're doing some crazy things with our kids up here on the stage. I might be the only Baptist pastor in the history of mankind that have the kids up here dancing in worship service, but they're happy about Jesus, and we're going to praise it. And we're going to let them sing their vacation Bible school songs. And we're going to let them come up here and sing, "How great is our God. And my God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." Man, I'm telling you, Wednesday nights, we're turning into an encouraging service. And it's turning into something, and it's getting there as we get through the minor prophets. On Wednesday nights, I'm only going to preach like this. I'm only going to be fired up, ready to go, because we want to encourage you. Because by the time I get from Sunday to Wednesday, I need some encouragement. There's no encouragement like being with the brethren, being with the family of God, and talking about the Word of God. Yeah. You see, we also understand, it says, "as you have been taught, abounding in thanksgiving." You know what abounding means? It means to have more. I'm not sure about you, but I want more of Jesus. I want more of the blessings of God. I want more of what God has for me, because God has much more. It says abounding. He's able to do exceedingly and above what you can even think of. Number 2, rooted in family. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 15. It's so easy to leave non-family, isn't it? "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." It's so easy when somebody that you don't like or somebody that's not your family, it's easy to say bye, Felicia, and be out. It's easy just to leave them, isn't it? It's very easy to do that. But listen to me. Families, watch. Families fight. Families disagree, but they're still related by blood. Amen. Anybody ever had a disagreement with somebody in their family?
Yeah.
But guess what? We're related by the blood of Christ. But the only way, now watch, as Christians, spiritually, the only way that we're able to do this is through the Spirit of God. When somebody doesn't like what I say, when somebody doesn't agree with what I do, listen, it's because of the Spirit of God that you're able to be rooted enough to get through that, because the Bible says in verse 16, watch this, it's through the Spirit that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, not your riches, His riches, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. See that capital S? By the Holy Spirit in the inner man. But I also know that the Bible has an order. Did you know that? The book of Romans teaches us how to be saved and what to do with Christian conduct after we're saved. We call it the Romans Road. So you can read Romans 1 through 11 and you can figure out what God means about salvation and how you can be saved. But then we get to Romans chapter 12 and the Bible starts to tell us some things. In verse 2, many of you could quote it, and be not conformed to this world. It says, see, the world, when you're in a family, says, we don't like it, so we just are done with it. We don't like it, so we'll just argue and we'll be away from each other and we won't deal with these problems. But God says, be not conformed to what the world's idea of that is, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what it says? That through the Spirit of God, we're able to disagree. And because we're renewed and transformed, be mature enough to stay together. Listen, if I agreed with everything that my wife did, no, listen, if I agreed with everything my wife did, that would make us inhuman. But because of the supernatural God, I'm able to look past things that we disagree on and still love each other and strive together for the good and for the glory of God. I am so happy that all these years later, nearly 20 years of marriage, that we can disagree, but it doesn't turn into a thing where it snowballs, but eventually, after she gives me the cold shoulder for 2 or 3 days and sends me to the doghouse, we can come back together and be okay again. Praise God. But it's the same way that the family of God, the church of God, is supposed to be. You see, when you're rooted, you don't leave when it gets hard. When you're mad, when you're sad, because your idea was not used, because he said, she said, no, you're rooted up and building. I'm so thankful as we celebrate next week, Fall Family Day, and our third anniversary, you know, seeing 3 years of a church plant and then building and seeing it go from 20 people and 40 people and 60 people to 70 to over 100 people on a regular basis and seeing that we are growing, it makes me remember that, listen, life is bigger than us. It's about Him. The better, the sooner we learn that, the better off we'll be. That God is who this is all about. The family of God, the church, that you need to grow some roots here. You need to have some things showing in your life, some fruit in your church attendance, in your church life, in your church service, in your praise and worship of the Lord, in your love for one another. And let me just say this to you. This church is the picture of the marriage, Ephesians 5. You know, I caution young people when I do marital counseling. I guess it could be for older people too. But I caution people, if you're married, don't gossip about your spouse. Hold on, listen to me. What would it be like if I came in here and complained and gossiped to you all about Chandra all the time? Said how awful she was and she didn't do this and she don't do that. She don't want to say this. She don't want to do that. How awful would it be? Ladies, would you like it if your husband was going out to his friends and gossiping about you? Husbands, do you like it if your wife goes out and gossips about you? But listen, inside the church, there shouldn't be no gossip. There shouldn't be no busybodies. You shouldn't be running your mouth about things in the church, outside of the church, or people in the church. You should not be doing that because that is not showing number 3, which is rooted in fondness. Look at verse 17. Rooted in fondness. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Yeah. Let me break this down for you. Love is not something that you are privileged or that you just have to have. Love was granted to us at salvation and remains through the Spirit of God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The Bible tells us here, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The verb shed abroad speaks of a past action resulting in a present status. Jesus' death on the cross is a past action, but if you're here today and you're saved, you're still presently saved. Amen? And so the same love, 1 John 4:16, that Jesus had and granted to us, we must grant to others even when they seem unlovable. When you got saved, you were unlovable. Hate to burst your bubble. Sometimes, even though you are saved, you're still unlovable. But God, he says, yet, while we're still in our sins, demonstrated his love towards us. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. For God so loved the world, you accepted that, you believe that, and you sing grace, amazing grace. Thank you, God, for loving me, even though I'm unlovable. But did you know that God is love? And the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you is also love, because he is God. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. And so you need to be rooted in fondness, in love for one another and the world, because that's who God is. And if you want to become godly, then you need to do things that God does. You see, again, I understand, only the renewed mind can do this. As God, who is love, granted to us love that is rooted, stable, unmovable, so should we grant to our family even when unlovable. As I look upon the faces and some of those who are traveling this week, many who are out, the children over there having junior church, you know, there are people in your family that you love but you don't like. Can I honestly say this to you? And I've been thinking about this. I'm so blessed. In 3 years of being the pastor of this church, there is nobody here that I don't like. Now, don't be confused by this. Sometimes pastors don't like people in their own church. They love them, but they don't really like them. You know, I don't have time to, and neither do you. But every single person here I could hang out with, and I actually like you. Every single person. Everybody that's not a visitor that I've known more than a day, I have some sort of relationship or know something about you. And I can hang out with you. And even if we have differing opinions on things, it doesn't bother me. We can hang out. Guess what? Your pastor loves you and prays for you every day, but I actually really like you too. I really do. I'm really fond of you. Now, I am not the perfect image of a man at all, but I would say this, that's Jesus, but I would say this to you. Rooted up, again, means being established, being grown up into. That's what we should all be striving for. That's what we should all be looking to do. That's who we should all be looking to be. We should want to go from just loving each other to actually liking to spend time. You know why I love to come to church so much? Because I like to be around you guys. And Sunday and Wednesday is my opportunity to see you all. Even Wednesday afternoons, when we have a different service, we have Wednesday afternoon and we have evening service, same service, but people come at different times. Most of the time, I'm the only person that sees all those people on Wednesdays doing both services, and I'm thankful that people that work third shift, people that don't want to drive at night, can come on Wednesday afternoons so I can see them. We're giving you, now watch, I guess I said it 4 opportunities, but really it's 5, because you can come on Wednesday afternoon too. Say, well, I can't be there Wednesday nights because I work Wednesday afternoons at noon. Come on in. Have a good old time. We sit right up here in the front. We talk. We drink coffee. We don't even make coffee for the evening people. We don't care about them evening people. We make coffee in the afternoon. Amen. Hey, listen. Rooted up. You have to make a decision whether you'll be rooted. Now, I'm closing here with this illustration. I have it on the good authority of our beloved Bethany Hatcher today. Now, you know me. I hate plants, so I don't want to talk about the roots of a plant. God could burn up every single plant in the history of mankind, and I'll be happy about it. I don't care. I don't want to water the plants. I don't want to look at them, nothing. I don't want the chia pet I have in my office. I got the Richard Simmons chia pet, and I didn't even grow it because I don't want to have a plant in there. He's just in the box. When God burned up Jonah's gourd, I was excited about that. Burn up some more stuff, God. Get rid of that stuff. So I said, Sister Bethany, tell me about the hair roots. I want to use this because I don't want to use plants because that's overdone. But the scalp is the foundation of our head. It's the part that was given to you by God, though you didn't deserve it. You have a cranium, and you have this scalp on top. But then there is just the ground level of that scalp, but then there is what is the root. It's what comes out of the foundation. Christ is our foundation, and the root is the fruit of the Spirit that comes by the renewed man that cannot change. God can't produce out of you anything but godliness because he's holy. Now, you can create some things, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but once you're saved, the Holy Spirit can't produce anything that's not holy because he's holy. But watch this. The root can't change. Now, you can go to Sister Hatcher, and you can get your hair dyed and fried and laid to the side if that's what you want to do. You can do that. No fry nobody's hair. Yeah. She's like, I ain't frying nobody's hair, right? Amen. You can do that. You can go. But whatever color you change your hair to, the root grows back a natural color. So some of you, like me, your natural hair color was black, and now your natural hair color is turning to gray, so you may have two different types, but it's still natural. That's just what it is. But it will not change. And in the mid-shaft, you'll see these hairs and you'll see things. But what happens here in this process, what happens is that sometimes the hair gets over-processed or under-processed. And as the hair is over-processed or under-processed, you get blown cuticles, which means that you have a split end. And the problem is, that's the outermost layer of the hair. That's what people see. People don't see your root. They see the split end. They see the dead part. They see the part that's not what it's supposed to look like. But I want you to understand this today. The root is godliness. But when we over-process or do things in under-process, don't take care of the gifts that God has given us, it changes the way our hair or our life looks to the world. But when we stay rooted, when we don't add sin to the body, or when we don't become apathetic Christians, I believe in our church, more than sin is an issue, I believe apathy is an issue. That people say, someone else will do it. I can sit by and come only this time, or come and I can miss here or there, and you think that everything is going to be done. And I got news for you, baby. No, we need everyone full go, all out, ready to serve, ready to work, ready to be here whenever the doors are open, ready to take the world for Jesus' sake. Amen. But if you don't nourish the hair, you don't nourish the root, the world will see the mess. The world will see those blown cuticles. The world will see those split ends. The world will see those problems. The world will see the things that they were never supposed to see. But when the root comes out and the root is strong, the world will see the beauty of what God has created. This morning, I want you to think on this. And as God has delivered unto us all his grace and his mercy. You see, sometimes we overprocess the word of God. I read sometime, and I believe this, that no one becomes anything other than a Bible-believing Christian by reading solely the Bible. You don't become a Calvinist by reading solely the Bible. No, it takes extra biblical references to become that. You don't become a prosperity gospel preacher by reading only the Bible. No, it takes extra biblical references and quotes to become that. You don't become an apostate by reading the Bible. You only become that by reading extra biblical references. No, when you read the Bible and take it for what God says, you don't overprocess. You just accept the word of God as it is. And you understand that God said, and when he says, thus saith the Lord, that it's that way and no other way. And if you try to make it some other way, you overprocess it and you're going to blow the cuticle. And what you will display to the world won't be what God wants you to display. But then we have those who underprocess the things of God, who don't care for the things of God in their life. They don't take care of the things that God has blessed you with. I mean, listen, I'm not even preaching on this today, but tithing is a process that God has given, not just for worship, but it's his money. He's saying, I want to prove that you're honest, and your 10% proves that you're honest to me. And when you withhold your 10%, you're not walking in faith, you're walking by sight, because you looked at your bank account and said, God, I don't know how I can do it. And God's looking at you and saying, well, I don't know how I could have saved you, I guess, either. But I did. When you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation or that situation, you're under-processing. What you're doing is you're underselling God. You're saying, God, I don't believe you as much as I say that I believe you. And that will end to apathy. That will end in apathy. That will end in, well, God's not going to do it, so I just give up. In a decade of ministry, do you know how many people I've seen walk away from the Word of God, the things they were trained in and taught in? And even though we thought they were rooted, we now see they're not rooted. People that we had as young people growing up, and now they're recovering fundamentalists. Well, fundamentalist only means we believe the fundamentals of the Bible. And so now they're upset because they've gotten outside worldly influences. So now they're saying that this is right or that is right when the Bible clearly says it's sin. The Bible says it's sin, it will always been sin, always be sin, it's always been sin, and it's never going to change. It just is sin. The more you read the Bible, the more you'll be convicted by sin, and not the more you'll want to change it. But we have those people out there that say, well, I can't believe, but Bryson. This is how they talk when they get, you know, out of pocket. But Bryson, God, he's love. How could God judge us for this? Because that's what the Word says. You're under processing. You're not taking care of the Word. You're not taking this precious seed and seeing it rooted and grown up in strong roots in the church. You're not seeing it grown and rooted up in the Word of God. Do you know that the Bible tells us that not only salvation is what God wills for us, but that God also wills that you're a part of the family of God on earth, that you have the church. That the church is the institution that God made that you could get rooted into, that you can be so plugged in that even when you pull all your hair out, or someone makes you pull all your hair out, or when you begin to lose it all like me, you can't see it, but I still got roots. They're mostly shiny at this point. But they're there. You say, what are you talking about? Well, this is what I'm talking about. I don't preach on it all the time, and this message is to the church, but church is so, so important. Being rooted, being here, being consistent, being faithful, being here week by week, not choosing other things over church, it's so important. Why? Because most of your hours spent awake are spent on things other than the things of God. Think about your last week. Now, some of you are going to say, I'm holy. I've been reading my Bible 24/7. I'm in church. I'm doing all this. I'm watching The Chosen. I'm awesome. But this last week, have you done more that's conformed to the world or more that's conformed to the image of Christ? That's transformed and renewed. Have you spent more time on your sport? Have you spent more time at your job? Have you spent more time with your family? Have you spent more time? Now, family, that's a close one because that is a part of the family of God and being godly, but what you're doing with them. Have you spent more time doing all those things? Have you spent more time in prayer? Have you spent the 4 or 5 hours that we have the doors of the church open for service in the church? Have you spent any time at Grow? Have you spent any time growing in the Word of God? Or have you spent more time doing things to the world? Then you wonder why you got problems, because the world is full of problems, right? So if you're conforming to the image of the world, that means you're conforming to problems. But if you are conforming and being renewed by the Spirit of God, who has no problems, who's perfect, well then guess what? You might just find yourself in a better situation when things get hard, when things get sorrowful, when things are hurting. You know, I tell you, and I'm using him only as an example because it's what's going on this week, but Brother Chuck is so rooted in this word and in this church that, yes, he's sad about his wife. Yes, he's hurting, but he's never stopped praising God in all of it. He was thinking of it. He picked the hymns today, not me. I'm just singing them for him. But imagine this, her favorite hymn, and he picked this week because of his heart, How Great Thou Art. Some of you get so hurt, so mad, so upset that you're not thinking about how great he is. You're thinking about all the bad and all the hurt of the world and all these things, and your roots aren't showing, your split ends are. This morning, before I go to invitation, I want to remind you, come back tonight at 5 p.m. We're going to be talking about the past tonight and how we can't let the past affect our present. And I want you to come. If you ever have struggled with anything in your past, if you're struggling with anything now that's in your past, if you are struggling with someone who passed away and it's hard for you, all those things we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to use the scriptures. And my goal is to be able, through the word of God, is to help you to grow and to be rooted and to understand that what's past is past and we must be focused on our present. And I want you to come tonight. I want you to be here for that. Hey, listen, I stay up and I write and I read and I study. My family can attest to this. And I do all these things. And I don't do them because I said that, now, my heart is knit with the Lord, but because I want to, but God has told me to. And so anything that I write down, Brother Brandon, he thought that this was his blue notebook. He said, is that my notebook? I said, get off my notebook. He's like, I have one just like it. I said, well, they only made $4 billion at Walmart, Brandon. Of course you have one just like it. Duh. Of course we are. I got purple and red, too. That one yours, too? Get off my notebook, man. But you know what? What the pen, Pilot G2, number 7, what the pen writes down in there, not 10, Grace, what it writes down in there isn't the thoughts of Bryson. It's the inspiration of the Lord giving me something that he gave your pastor for you to hear. So watch. So if you don't hear it because you chose not to be rooted and be here, that's why I killed the live stream on the evening service. Last week, Brother Jonathan, he's a great IT guy. Anybody ever call the IT people and they say, unplug it for 10 seconds and then plug it back in? And you're like, I could have done that. This morning, Brother Jonathan, last week the live stream didn't work. And Brother Jonathan, he was frustrated about it because, you know, he's such a smart guy and so good at the computers. He said, you blasted camera. I curse you like Jesus cursed the fig tree. You're never going to bear fruit again. And he came in this morning. He said, Pastor, the live stream's working. Apparently one of the cords got unplugged from the back. I said, man, you're a great IT guy. You figured that out all on your own. He said, oh, check's in the mail. Yeah. But you know why we did that at night? Because I want you, the Bible says there in Romans 12, to prove out that which is good and profitable, right? When you come on evening service, when you come on Wednesday, it's proving who you are in the Lord. It's proving how much. I'm not saying you don't love the Lord if you don't come. I'm telling you, it's proving, though, that you're willing to put the Lord first. It's proving. And when you do that, watch, you're getting something the Lord told me to write in this notebook. You're getting a thus saith the Lord. And that amount of 1 hour of divine information is better than anything else that you heard all day long. It's better than anything you heard at work. It's better than anything you heard at the store. It's better than anything you heard at the hospital. It's better than anything you heard from your girlfriend gossip about this one and that one. It's better than anything else that you've got going on when you hear a thus saith the Lord, if you believe the Lord and are rooted in the faith, grounded in his foundation this morning. You understand what I'm saying? If you understand what I'm saying this morning, I don't want you to say a word, but I want you to come to the altar today. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to be rooted. I want to get further rooted. I want to get deeper roots. I want my roots to be the thing that are showing and not the cuticle, the split ends. I want today for the church. Maybe you say, I'm rooted, but I want some other people to get rooted. Maybe you join me. Do you know why I pray every single day that every single person that comes here would be rooted? Maybe you would join me. Maybe if you would jump in, we would see that happen. Maybe if you would join in, we would see greater things than these. And this morning, if you're here and you don't have the foundation, you've never been saved by the blood of Christ alone. You weren't saved thinking that your baptism could save you or that church attendance could save you or that being a good person could save you. No, you understand that the Bible says that anything we do is as filthy rags, but the grace of God is such that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but because God is so good, he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. And that simply by calling upon the name of the Lord, believing in your heart, repenting of your sins, and fully understanding the gospel that Jesus Christ did live and that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, to take a sacrificial, substitutionary death for you and for me, and that he rose again the third day so that we could have a newness of life, so we don't have to look back, but that we understand that our past has affected our present because he has granted his love, his grace towards us. If you can accept that today, then the Bible says you can be saved today and know it. For these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. So today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we go to the time of service we call invitation. It's not an invitation from me. It's not even an invitation really